dear listeners. I'm sure you're aware of what you're listening to, but just the same, it's my responsibility as host to inform you that you are listening to Feel Free to Deviate, the podcast about people, their careers, and their relationships with success. My name is Jim Turbert. Thank you for joining me. Episode 35 of Feel Free to Deviate is another deviation from the standard format. You may not realize this because most of these episodes are about an hour long, but I often edit those episodes down from 3 hours or more of conversation. There's a fair amount that nobody ever hears. As much as I want to include every bit of the conversation, I feel like that's asking too much. How does one deal with all this surplus material, you ask? I don't deal with it. It just accumulates on my computer, collecting digital dust. That is, until today. Episode 35 is an outtake episode. If you've ever used physical media, an outtake episode is sort of like bonus material on a DVD or a Blu-ray. I'm pretty sure you're going to love it. I'm going to start off with an outtake from episode 34 with Justin Baum. We talked a bit about music and bikes and stereo equipment. I like talking about that kind of stuff, but I couldn't fit it into the original episode, so here it is now. I'm curious to see how it's received. After the Justin segment is an outtake from my conversation with Michael Switek from episode 21. When I initially cut this out, I remember talking about it with Ed. You know Ed. He's been on the show a few times, and he's done extensive sound work for the podcast in the past, and maybe in the future. Time will tell. I told him I cut off a bunch of stuff about Marvel movies because it didn't fit in with the rest of the conversation. Ed quipped that I was shooting myself in the foot or something like that, you know, because everybody loves Marvel movies so much. Anyway, there's a few minutes of that as well. This is the first in perhaps a series of outtake episodes. I'm calling it Outtakes and Mostly Unrelated. Enjoy. When you moved to San Francisco, like you mentioned, you were super into like fixies and stuff. And then I feel like when you first moved to New York, you got into road bikes. What are you into now? Oh, no. Also, when I visited you, when I saw you in San Francisco briefly once, and at that point you were like collecting Volkswagens.
No, God. No, I wasn't.
Or you happened to have two of the same model, or like you were, I don't know.
Oh, man. There were mistakes were made when this is that part of the story where, you know, things just kept coming at me, and I had a GTI or two,
right?
May have done some things that young men in the 2000s do to GTIs.
If you were single guy and you had a good job, like, what are you gonna do? Buy a cool car.
it was fun. I did sell it though, because I got pulled over too much commuting.
It's dangerous.
No, man, San Francisco definitely made me appreciate bikes and food. Cycling is my favorite thing to do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I went on a 100-mile ride Saturday, just north of, you go over the George Washington Bridge and just kind of go north along the river, cut in a few places, and try to find some good climbs. I really like climbing. There's a lot of, you know, small little parks dotting the side of the river. Mm-hmm. And so you just go kind of hunting for climbs and cool areas. It's like a mental scrub brush for me. I just, I do enjoy riding with other people a lot, but I've been riding because of my schedule and not being really a big morning person. I've just been out by myself riding a lot, and it's wonderful. It's cool to get the contrast when you re-enter Manhattan. It's like just sensory overload, you know.
Oh, I can imagine.
And if you don't leave, you don't have a car, you don't have another, you know, we were here throughout all of COVID.
Yep.
In the city. And yeah, cycling has been a really good way to you know, get out there and breathe some real air. Yeah. Right, regularly. But I like to run too. My legs just don't cooperate muscular skeletally.
I have a hip problem now. It sucks.
Yeah, it's really hard. Yeah, but cycling, and then I love music, you know?
Yeah.
I love music, and I love electronic music, particularly experimental electronic music. And
what are you listening to?
Oh, what do I have? I've got Vladislav Delay is still making music.
Nice.
I don't know if you remember that name.
I do. I know the name because of you, actually.
He is rather prolific right now. I've been listening to this record label called Astral Industries. I think it's run by an Iranian guy from London, And it's a lot of like, obviously ambient music has had quite a moment in recent years, but this is like, this is the label I would recommend to anybody that like wants some stuff that's not too watered down or too derivative.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
I really like that. Rod Modell, this is maybe a lesser known one, or I think it's Modell, R-O-D, and then Modell, I think it's M-O-D-E-L-L. He's about to put out a new album that is fantastic. That's more like dub techno. I have quite a soft spot for dub techno.
All right.
And I've got to mention Autechre's last album.
Okay.
Again, dating myself, but I can't believe.
it's cool, yeah. That's not stuff that I normally listen to, but I think it's kind of funny to hear that these guys are still doing, like, I mean, I obviously know that name. Yeah. And I know Vladislav Delay. Doesn't Vladislav Delay also release things under other names? Or
yeah, Sasu Rapati. Rapati is like his main one. He's one of my favorite people that have they're just like, the music he's making is so intense, and it feels like the world right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's pretty raw. Not the kind of thing I put on and just zone out to, right? It's pretty intense, but it feels right. It feels kind of like if you were to just like mainline Twitter top news, this is what it sounds like.
It's the musical equivalent of the news feed.
Yeah. and then Eli Kessler, K-E-S-Z-L-E-R. He is a drummer that has just made a bunch of amazing albums, you know, some electronic, some a bit more experimental drumming. And he works with Laurel Halo occasionally, who I also love.
Yeah, I haven't heard of most of that stuff.
I'll send you a care package.
Please do. I don't buy records much these days, but I do a fair amount of streaming. But is this the kind of stuff that you would be able to get on a streaming service, or would you have to go to Bandcamp or something?
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, you can get it on streaming services. Yeah. I've gotten pretty obsessive with keeping all my music locally as FLAC.
Yeah.
I'll send you a too long email about.
Right. Not that you would ever share a file of somebody else's music.
No, of course not.
That would be devastating.
That would be terrible. Yeah, it would.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I have a friend of mine is a famous techno DJ, but I realize that saying he's a techno DJ is like saying he plays rock music. It's a big field, but he's pretty famous. Have you ever heard of Joris Voorn?
Yeah, actually have.
Yeah, he went to school with Marlene, and I'm actually hoping to get him on the podcast.
What a profession that is.
It's insane.
Oh, I guess we both missed our calling, Jim.
Yeah, no, for real. I don't know. I don't know what my calling was, but yeah. I feel like if you say that my sensibility rubbed off on you, I wish more of your sensibility rubbed off on me.
Oh man, I wish we got to talk more about that. I mean, that Rapture show we went to together.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was at a art gallery for an opening, and somebody started talking about the fact that who is the lead singer of that band? Luke Jenner?
Yeah, that's his name. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. That he's now a life coach, like a rather successful life coach in Williamsburg or something, or in Brooklyn.
Of course he is.
Yeah. And unreal. I immediately referenced that show in Providence, right?
Yes, it was definitely in Providence, because I remember there were a couple things that I remember quite well about that show. And one was, before the show, there were these two kids that got up on stage and kind of did this mockery of a stand-up routine.
Yeah.
Based on making fun of art students, like RISD students. and like, he made jokes about graphic design students and stuff like that, and things that nobody would find funny except for someone who sort of knew about that stuff. And
you were in stitches, in other words.
Not really. I mean, it wasn't that funny, but it was amusing that it was happening, but it was and also there was this guy there dancing. He was a very enthusiastic dancer, but he was waving his arm around. And he had a lit cigarette. This was back in the day when you could have a cigarette in a club. Yeah. And he kept his cigarette kept coming very close to my face, and it was making me very angry. And I was thinking about that.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Anyway. We are cut from the same cloth.
Yeah. I was just like, dude, if that thing hits me, I'm going to pound you. But it's like, I don't condone violence, yeah. But I definitely entertained the idea of violently reacting to this guy's cigarette.
The whole Wellesley College AV closet team.
Yeah. You know,
all the VCR boys.
Oh man.
Brandishing our Q-tips and alcohol.
And our rubber re-grip.
Yeah.
Those were the days, man.
They were.
So you're listening to a lot of music. On what equipment are you listening to this music? Because I know that one of the things that you were interested at some point was vintage stereo equipment.
Oh yeah. I have a Pioneer SX950.
Is that one of the super desirable ones?
It is now. I got it off of Craigslist in Oakland, I mean, ages ago. And man, it's a beast. It's I don't have speakers that are worthy of it right now, but and I probably won't for a while because that's a project or a lot of money you get to pick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love those late 70s, early 80s. Receivers. That said, I do have a pair of like stock standard Yamaha studio monitors that probably get the most powered studio monitors.
Yeah, yeah.
They get the most play. And then
just like the Yamaha ones that everybody has,
the black ones with the white H something sevens, yeah. I don't like the way those sounds they sound. I really, really love these are they Dynaco A10s I have at home?
Oh, nice.
I bought them from a machinist that was closing his machine shop in San Jose before I left the Bay Area.
And he just happened to have a pair of awesome monitors.
And they were like, he had never taken them out of the box. It was pretty amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just dumb.
I didn't get it. Yeah. But they've lasted for quite a long time. That's all the home listening is on. I'm at my office right now. I have a little office space where the turntables and mixer and cassette deck and mic and all that is. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
And but with the Pioneer, is it a particularly powerful amp? I'm just wondering, would you be able to use would you need some super low sensitivity speakers for it? Or like what would that entail?
Well, yeah, I think these are what? This is like 150 watts a channel?
Oh, that's fine.
200 watts a channel? Yeah.
Oh, you can play anything, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's I didn't realize this, but they got kind of culty, you know.
No, they really did. Some of them, in the last some 10 of years. Those models are super, super desirable.
It's beautiful. The stuff is so beautiful. The Tascam tape deck I had, you know, just the old lights on them. It just looks so nice.
Mm-hmm. How's the knob feel?
Oh, brother, the knobs. Yeah. The action.
So good.
Opening the cassette deck, hitting the eject button, and just like the mechanics of how it opens. It's really like that stuff is worthy of simulating.
Totally.
I mean, not to like go back to the tech industry, but probably products. I think products are going to get really weird and really interesting in the next 10 years. I'm sure, you know, Teenage Engineering.
Right? I do.
Yeah. Like people were so far ahead to talk about sensibility. But yeah, have you ever messed with their
I have their, not. Like, I, their speaker? I always looked at it, but it's also like I always feel like it's too. I'm not going to buy that. That's too expensive for what it is.
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, I understand. You know, it's a small company and all that. But still, it's like it was
just the mechanical engineering and electrical engineering. It's just it's unreal. Yeah. My favorite thing about the Pioneer receiver is the way the tuner dial feels. It's like the size of your hand.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost like you can throw it.
Yeah. Can you spin it and it just like rolls? Yeah, it
just keeps going.
Yeah. No, it was totally trashed. My uncle had one and he died and I took it and I wish I held on to it and fixed it up. Cause I've read more about refurbishing these things. So I sort of have an understanding of what needs to be refurbished. But at the time I opened the thing up and I was like, oh Jesus, I don't know what the hell. I don't know what to do with any of this. So I just tossed it. But, and it wasn't also, it was older. It was like from the, I think it was from the late 60s, which people still like them, but it's not as popular as the ones from the later 70s.
Yeah, I think things really changed, right, in the late 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like a sweet spot before.
Before the black plastic crap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've often wanted to try to refurb mine, but I'm sure you encountered this too, but it gets steep so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody quoted me $800 to $1,000 to refurb mine. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
Okay. You're like, I got this thing at Goodwill.
Yeah. At least I have a very sturdy shelf because I can barely lift it.
Right. Yeah. Nope. I have these giant Pioneer speakers. I can't remember what model they are, but again, they're not popular enough to have readily available replacement parts. So refurbishing them is possible. And I found a guy online who actually refurbished them, and it was a tremendous amount of work and a tremendous amount of money. I mean, he also went on, he re-veneered things and stuff, and they look amazing, but he's just like, yeah, they sound okay. You know? So if I'm going to, I'll just buy new speakers, I think.
No, totally. I mean, it's unfortunate that like the new JBL stuff that looks like the old stuff is so expensive. I don't know if you've,
I do know, and they're crazy expensive.
Yeah, just completely out of reach.
Yeah, you know? They look so dope though with those
the orange foam in particular.
It looks so dope. It
looks really good. Yeah.
I would definitely, and also I feel like they're probably, it's probably even more here in Europe because it's not it's an American brand. So
that's right.
I think distribution here is a little bit tighter.
The JBL store on Houston Street here is hilarious. It's always trying to lure you in.
Oh, I'm sure it would lure me in all the time.
What's your, are you able to play music pretty loud at home or?
I can. I don't usually though. I listen mostly through headphones, and I have a pair of, studio monitors on my desk, which are similar to the Yamahas that you have. They're actually Atom Audio, which is a German brand.
Very familiar. Those will be my next.
They're really great. Yeah. And I think that they're even cheaper here because they're made in Berlin. So it's, I think like for the ones with the 5-inch woofers, it was like, I got them for like $285.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. It's totally great. And they sound really good. I picked up a subwoofer for them. It makes them sound even better. And the cool thing about them is like, it's a Class D powered amplifier, but like I've got like little tube preamps and stuff. You can totally change the sound of them depending on what you're going in with. So you can use a standard USB interface, or you can use a tube headphone amp, or you can feed them with different things and get different flavors, which I think is really nice.
Yeah. That is sweet.
Yep.
I'm trying not to go down the acoustics wormhole.
Yeah.
Yeah. My speakers are rear ported, but they're in a shelf and it's just wrong.
Yeah. It's wrong
sounding. I have to.
Yeah. My speakers upstairs are vintage Boston Acoustic, and they are a closed design, and they are from around 1980, I guess. And they sound pretty great. I refoamed them, and they're not picky about where they sit. Like you can butt them up against the wall and that's fine because they're a closed design. I guess they were kind of entry level or like mid-fi kind of things back in the day. And, I don't know. They sound pretty great to me.
Yeah. It's amazing how long speakers last.
Yeah. If you're not afraid to use glue, maybe replace a capacitor or two.
Yeah. I was thinking about getting a pair of the older, you know, more desirable Pioneer JBL speakers, like the big cabinet ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a big giant shelf, like a garage style shelf I could put them on top of, but then I'd have to get glue.
Yep. A lot of it.
A lot of glue. Yeah. What are you listening to these days?
I don't listen to anything specifically. Like I'm constantly listening to like new stuff that's either recommended by people or the algorithm. I like some of the guys from San Francisco, like Ty Siegel.
Yeah.
And the OCs and I don't know where they're from, but the Black Angels, it's kind of like this neo psych garage rocky thing.
Yeah. I've got all their albums.
They're awesome, right?
They're great. I love, they have a new one coming out.
Yeah. It just came out. They just released it. It sounds
good.
It's good. It's good. Yeah. I only listened to it once so far, but it's, I like it.
Do you like Black Mountain?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and also what's it, their alter ego, the
Pink Mountain
Tops. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. And, what's that, the African dude, I dare not say his name, but the Touareg guitar guy that everybody's so.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love that entire genre. We were lucky enough to go, to Morocco with, Bedenice's, best friend's partner who is from there.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I just, obviously this is not Touareg stuff, but getting into like the Ganawa or Nawa, I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Music. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. All that North African.
It's cool, man.
Music is incredible. It's incredible.
It's so awesome. Yeah. But yeah, that dude has a new one out. I mean, I've listened to his other stuff too, but I just listened to his new one. What's his name? What's it? Those Japanese dudes, and there's chick. Japanese yep. dudes and chick, Boris.
Yep. Heavy.
Yeah, I mean, all kinds of stuff, but it fluctuates. But I get recommended some things by people that I wouldn't listen to otherwise. But the algorithm, I feel like, is starting to know me pretty well.
It gets in there. That's, I think, the best application of algorithms.
It might be
music recommendations.
But it's scary sometimes. It's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you know?
How'd you know? This is my secret. I'm not going to tell you what my secret, what do you call it? A guilty pleasure.
Your guilty pleasure? You're not? Yeah.
I'll give you one guess. It is a very popular singer-songwriter, a woman, American.
Taylor
woman.
Swift.
No, not that popular. Generationally off.
Yeah.
No, I got really into the more recent Lana Del Rey albums, like everybody else, it seems.
I've never listened to a Lana Del Rey album. I have listened.
Yeah,
I was getting a haircut, and the guy was listening to it one time, so I kind of listened to it.
Yeah, I think like the gateway drug was Father John Misty.
Yeah,
which I don't really listen to him.
I don't
much.
Either, but I have some friends who do.
Yeah, because those two are friendly.
Yeah.
And that's the one like confession I'll give you is that the really popular producer, he has his own band
the one who produces everybody.
Yeah, the last one he did with her was quite nice.
What's his name? Jack Antonoff,
something like that
guy?
Yeah, he did like the Lord album too, right?
Yeah. And he did St. Vincent's last album.
Did he? I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I believe I discussed that with a previous guest.
Nice.
And yeah, anyway, that's there's a lot of good stuff out there. And
Sure.
I am glad to listen to it whenever it comes my way. It makes me happy. It goes directly into my head through headphones usually.
Oh, I've got the III, those modular headphones. You know those ones? It's AI. Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of them.
Yeah, I think they're Danish. Been around for a long time, but I kind of have amassed this collection of different speaker units and ear pads that are all interchangeable. Oh. So I forget your story about your closed cabinet Boston Acoustic speakers reminded me of this. You can kind of adjust like the profile for what you're listening to.
Uh-huh.
So if I want like enveloping like dubstep in a basement kind of feeling, then it's I have specific speaker units and pads I use, and then if I want more like Ryuichi Sakamoto stuff, then it's the more delicate diaphragm, I suppose you would say.
Right. Wow. Yeah. I don't know the specifics of those. I'm fairly well read in the headphone sphere, but yeah. I've only heard of those. I've never really investigated them.
I don't think they stack up super well on paper, like if you're like on like hardcore headphone review sites. But just the ability to like swap things in and out is pretty fun.
It's a nice idea, I think.
Yeah,
especially considering how much discussion goes into, oh well, these are really good for jazz, and these ones are really good for metal, and these ones. It's like, yeah, but can't they all just like be good for everything? Evidently not. Editing that reminded me of a few things. One, the Rapture show we were talking about was also the day I decided that I wanted an iPod because Justin had just purchased one and we plugged it into my car stereo on our drive from Boston to Providence to see the show. I was sort of indifferent about the iPod until I held it and used it. Then I wanted one immediately. The thing was so cool. Number two, I've been meaning to promote a show-related playlist. I made one. It's on Spotify. I could also make one on Tidal if anyone's interested, but I assume you aren't. I know that other podcasters and YouTubers do this, and I have no idea how effective it is for generating interest in the podcast, but if anyone's interested in any of the music that has ever been talked about on the show, go to Spotify and search for Feel Free to Listen. To be perfectly clear, you will likely hate some of the music on this list. Sometimes diversity is a good thing, but this is very diverse. The guests on the show listen to some crazy shit, so I recommend putting it on shuffle and clicking past the tracks that you find offensive, or sit through them. That's what I do. I think it's good to listen to things you haven't heard before, even if you hate them. It makes you appreciate your favorites even more. I'll include the link in the show notes, but as I mentioned, searching Feel Free to Listen should get you there. Okay, up next is a brief discussion of Marvel movies with esteemed educator, film lover, and comic book guy Michael Switek from episode 21. All right, I'm almost done with you. I'm not a comic book guy.
Okay.
As I don't know if you know or remember that, but I read many of the seminal titles. And one of the reasons I read them was because you lent them to me. Like, you lent me, I don't know if it was you who lent me the guy that does all the super influential Batman stuff. What's his name?
Oh, Frank Miller?
Frank Miller. Yeah,
the Dark Knight Returns. Drawing a blank.
So yeah, I'm not sure if you lent me that stuff, but I have a couple comic book friends. But yeah, like A Death in the Family, when Superman died, I believe I borrowed that one from you. Yeah, anyway, like most of the comic books that I read in my youth were through you. And I know that you're a comic book guy, and I know that you're a movie guy, and I know that you like the Avengers movies. I think that they are the most overrated movies ever made.
Fair enough.
Now, do you like them because you're a fanboy, or do you like them because you really believe that they are great movies?
Okay. You know what? That is a great question. It's making me realize some truths about myself right now. I saw The Avengers in the theater with my best friend because my son was too young to go to the movies at that point. But I said The Avengers, the first Avengers movie, looked like my imagination when I was a very young kid playing with my superhero toys. That's what was happening in my mind. The technology, you know, the CGI, the effects, were getting comic book movies made by comic book geeks. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, do I think they're the best movies ever made? I don't. I recognize they are potentially formulaic. I realize some of the dialogue is cringe-inducing. Totally get that. Do I, though, agree with Ridley Scott and Martin Scorsese that they're garbage? I don't.
Oh, are they on record saying that they're garbage?
Oh, yeah. Both of them and a third really highly regarded director. Listen, I'm a huge Ridley Scott fan.
Yeah.
I'm starting to learn. It only took me 46 years, but I'm starting to learn that maybe I shouldn't read everything that people I admire have stated on record.
No.
Like, wow, Ridley Scott's a genius. And then...
But he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, exactly that.
I'm not familiar with many of his quotes, but I can see how someone who is a genius might be perceived as a dick.
Absolutely. And apparently it's something that a lot of people I admire, it's a trait they have in common. Ridley Scott said recently, I can't remember the name of his last film, but it had Matt Damon with
the Duel.
Mullet. Yes, okay. That failed. From an economic standpoint, that was a failure. And he's quoted, oh, these effing millennials with their effing cell phones. That's why my movie failed. Like, well, maybe a period piece is not what people are looking for at the moment. And yeah, Martin Scorsese, too, has said Marvel movies are formulaic garbage. And I don't know if you've ever seen the sitcom Arrested Development.
Yeah, of course.
To me, potentially the most brilliant show I've seen on television, especially in broadcast television. You know, the Russo brothers were a big part of developing that show, and they're the ones who made Avengers Endgame. And I said, you can't think that these guys who worked on Arrested Development are like artistically bereft just because they have spacemen who fight bad guys. Like,
yeah,
it's a pretty broad brush to paint with. No, I get it. Yeah. I feel like I'm avoiding your question. I think I love them so much because I'm a fanboy. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which I don't think that's a bad thing. I have the same thing with Star Wars. Like, I fully understand how bad almost all of the Star Wars movies are, but I like them. I know their faults, and I also, there are things about every single one of them that I think is brilliant. Yeah, anyway, the thing about the Marvel movies, they are formulaic, and it's not really about their faults aren't really about spacemen fighting bad guys or whatever. I think that it's like the kitchen sink. I was just kind of overwhelmed with the Avengers, the first Avengers movie. It was just so much crammed into it. And I can see how someone like Martin Scorsese or Ridley Scott would not like it, because they sort of disregard the art form of making a film, pacing and structure. It's like a tree of arcs instead of a well-crafted series of arcs. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and I agree, and I think that's fair criticism. I think that they're not everyone aspires to be Scorsese or Scott, I guess.
But maybe they should, but no, that's another story.
Sure, listen, and it's a product. If anything, I think I have to shut that off in my mind to really enjoy it. This is packaged. They've had toys and Happy Meal boxes designed for 6 months, just waiting. I have to shut that off to avoid knowing the Walt Disney Company. They have a direct line to my debit card, I'm not gonna lie. I took the Avengers Endgame, and I can't believe as big a fan as I am, I can't remember previously. Infinity War. Those both released on my birthday weekend.
Nice.
Took my son to see them. My wife was again, she makes it seem like she's very courteous. She's like, oh, you guys go, you're gonna love it. Meanwhile, she wants no part of it.
I think I'd like her.
I think you would get along very well. But yeah, you know, I went, I brought my kid, I had big emotional moments when
the emotional moments happened.
Yeah, when I was told that I should have emotions.
Cue tears.
Yes. Robert Downey Jr. says, cry now. Okay. Will do. But yeah, I do lose myself in that, probably because I've been reading these characters for so long.
Yeah.
It's prepackaged. I totally get that. But again, not everybody is a Scorsese.
Almost nobody, in fact.
Right.
There's like one guy.
Yeah. It's one guy. I have to tame my eyebrows so I don't look like him. Yeah. You know, it just... To quote another, I guess, God, Disney owns me. To quote another Disney franchise, The Incredibles, if everybody's super, then no one is, you know? So if everybody's making these poignant loner films or mafia sagas, then that leaves a lot of the market untapped, I guess. I'm defending my love of superhero movies.
No,
it's way too hard right
now. It's fine. I was just curious, how are you going to react? Like, were you going to get violent?
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, you know, that sort of.
Don't get me wrong. I've seen those movies, and I enjoy them for the most part. I mean, they're fine. I accept them for what they are. But I remember, especially after Endgame, people were posting, oh my God, it was so awesome. It's like the best. I loved it. And I was so sad. And I was like, okay, I guess I have to go see it in the theater. And then I went to see it in the theater. I was kind of, I was confused. And I thought to myself, I'm not involved emotionally with the characters. So I wasn't sad when the sad parts happened. And I was like, there's either something wrong with me or there's something wrong with them.
Well, no, I can see that. I can see that. Because honestly, like you mentioned Lord of the Rings earlier.
Yeah.
I thought those were beautifully filmed.
Yeah.
I thought that there was really great stuff on the screen I hadn't seen before. But my life would not at all be impacted if I never saw them. And yet I know someone whose honeymoon was walking the trail.
Oh, for real?
This guy I used to work with, when he and his now wife went to New Zealand, and that was their honeymoon.
Were their wedding rings like the one ring?
They were not.
They should have been.
I don't know. I don't want to say too much, but there's a hint of a theme at the wedding. Yeah. They had a Lord of the Rings themed wedding, which was, you could see the heartbreak in the parents' eyes.
What did we do wrong?
Dad, put your ears on.
Oh my God.
No way.
No, I'm just joking about that. Just imagine that conversation.
This is your day.
You have my sword and my axe. Oh boy. These are not wedding vows. Yeah.
But my favorite part of the Avengers movie, the first one, was when they were eating shawarma at the end.
If you rewatch the scene, you'll notice that Chris Evans has his hand covering his face because he had to grow a beard for his next project.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. They came back together just for that scene, actually.
That's awesome. I think it's a great scene. It's a good callback, and that was my favorite part. I also like the part when the Hulk smashes Loki and calls him a puny god.
Puny god, yeah.
So good. And also I think this might have actually been in the trailer, but when Captain America gets lippy with Iron Man and he's like, yeah, well, what do you have without your suit? He's like, genius, billionaire, Billy Boy, philanthropist. That was really good.
Exactly. Great line.
So good. But yeah, I mean, there was never any doubt that he's a magnificent actor. And actually, you know, can I just say that the thing that I don't like about them is that it's like just an installment. I like the first Iron Man movie because I truly appreciate a good origin story.
You know what? That is absolutely valid. Some of these are simply placeholders.
Yeah.
Exactly what you said. It's an installment instead of a standalone. There's no success without a sequel now. Definitely see what you're saying there. And there are Marvel movies I haven't enjoyed.
Like which ones?
I thought Iron Man 3 was garbage. I love Robert Downey Jr.
Is that the Ultron one?
No, that was an Avengers.
Okay. I don't even remember. See, that's the thing. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah. So Iron Man 3 is some guy from way back when who Tony Stark was rude to. He develops rival technology and supposedly creates a better version of Iron
Man. Oh, the one with Mickey Rourke.
That's part two.
Okay. And by the way, part two was like, terrible.
Yeah. Freely admit. You know, there are ones I haven't enjoyed. There are ones that I have enjoyed but didn't need to be part of the Marvel universe. I know that they're universe building so that they can continue to tell stories until
forever.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I think the ones the sequel to Thor was absolute garbage.
Which one was that?
That's called Dark World.
Oh yeah, I barely even remember that.
Yeah.
Ragnarok, though.
Yeah, great.
That was dope.
because you're bringing in this like indie film director with this indie sensibility, and he makes it a comedy.
He does, and he knows how to make movies.
Absolutely. And not just Marvel movies, but movies.
Like movies. He knows how to make a movie.
Yeah, but that to me, and that's how I know I'm not so deeply entrenched, because that made the real fanboys absolutely livid.
Oh, did?
Oh, yeah. Ragnarok comes out to glowing reviews, and they just kept tweeting, Thor's not funny. Thor's not funny.
Are you kidding?
I swear to you. And I'm like, well, this one he is, man.
He's awesome.
He's killing it right now.
He's like, yeah. Like, and then in, I guess it's probably an Avengers movie where he keeps calling the raccoon a rabbit. Rabbit.
Oh, yeah. That stuff.
He's the best.
Oh, no, that annoyed, to quote my students, that annoyed the neckbeards. They got very, very upset. The whole misogyny coming in with Captain Marvel, and we hate Brie Larson. That was just ugly, but...
Well, I don't hate Brie Larson. I just thought that movie sucked. She seems like a fine person, but I also think that the marketing for that was super weird. They just kept on, like, and by the way, she's a woman.
And guess you didn't notice.
It's crazy. And she's super, super duper powerful, and she's a woman. Aren't we great?
Yes.
And then they're like, okay, we'll just put her in the background.
Yes. And then she gets to be Space Mommy in the upcoming
right.
the upcoming mommy. Sequels. Yeah. And you're right. But that was the thing. Like, how dare the implication be that she could be as powerful as, and then fill in the blank with any male character.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good moment for me because I could say, okay, I'm not that guy. I am not angry.
Dodged that one.
At the fictional character's strength capability.
Yeah. After listening to that, I'm reminded of some interview with Gwyneth Paltrow where she didn't even realize which Marvel movies she's been in because there's so much overlap. To be fair, her character isn't a major one, and they sort of just pepper her in there wherever she's needed. But still, I think it's crazy that she doesn't even know which movies she's in. She just shows up, does her thing, gets her megabucks, and goes back to her rich and fulfilling life. That sounds like success to me. So what's the moral of the story? That's a great question. Don't forget to check me out on my social media crap, Instagram, Facebook, at Feel Free to Deviate. My website is feelfreetodeviate.com. There's a playlist called Feel Free to Listen on Spotify now. Search for it. And go to buymeacoffee.com/feelfree. That's just feel free, no deviate. If you'd like to help offset the cost of producing the show, this is the quickest, easiest, and most painless way to do it. But of course, there is no obligation. Show's free. Thank you for listening. I truly appreciate your time, and do let me know if you like this sort of thing, because I have many, 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 many more hours of outtakes on various subjects, and I'd like to post them all at some point, but only if you'll listen. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, keep up the good work. Bye.